Listen to this Ross Report for all the updates.
Hi, I'm Lori Branstein. You're listening to the Ross Report Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. Another Friday right here at Gillette Stadium on April 5th, just the weekend of Easter. Today we have Brian Lowe and Tom Casale giving you all the updates on the roster, including what's been going on with Asante Samuel.
Thanks, Lori. Another Patriots roster report, the first Friday in April. The pace of offseason transactions has certainly slowed. Just one official move by the Patriots this week. They re-signed tackle Wesley Britt, who has come into his own a little bit last year, potential third tackle, swing tackle for this team. And so they'll bring him back at least for training camp and see how he develops. So we get that out of the way first. Other topics that relate to the Patriots roster, certainly number one would be the recent comments by cornerback Asante Samuel. The franchise tag has been placed. He has the option of signing a one-year deal for about $8 million, but he told NFL Network this week that basically he's not happy with the way things are going and he wants to be traded. So, Tom, what do you make of these comments? Do they change anything in terms of what the Patriots are thinking in negotiations with Samuel?
Well, they're pretty ugly. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember Deion Branch even saying anything remotely this ugly during the negotiations. I mean, I know his agent said some things, but Samuel was pretty stern, saying he is not happy, and he even went so far as to say, as of right now, he could see himself playing elsewhere as early as next year. So those were pretty strong comments, and I don't think they bode well for the negotiations, because the Patriots usually don't get bullied by a player.
It's been sort of an odd sequence of events, because back in January, during the playoffs, was that article in the Boston Globe in which, you know, he said it was the first time that he really commented extensively about the projection that he could be a franchise tag player. He was going to be a free agent, and he clearly was not happy with that.
Pretty much laid the groundwork. Yeah.
Now, in mid-February, the Patriots placed a franchise tag on them. That's the business. That's the way it works, and it became pretty clear that that was going to happen. And shortly after that, both Samuel and his agent seemed to at least say the right things, that they want to make it work here, they're going to work with the Patriots, sort of almost sensing some optimism at that point.
But that's to be expected, because they're still negotiating with the Patriots, so you don't want to burn any bridges at that point. I don't think he was happy that the tag was placed on him, but you're not going to come out and say it then, because you're still working with the Patriots for a long-term contract. Right now, my feeling is he feels that it's not going to get much better than this. Like, this is the best the Patriots are going to offer, so they're either trying to bully the Patriots through the media, which won't work, as we all know, or he's saying, I want out.
Well, just to give a little bit of the comments that Samuel made to NFL Network, we have a difference of opinion in my value. They think I'm worth one price, and the other teams think I'm worth a lot more. Now, by saying that, he's indicating that he has talked to other teams, which is their right, of course.
He can do that.
If a long-term deal can't be done at fair numbers for me in New England, then I want to be traded. Another thing he said, I took it personally at first. You'd think I would have been around this team long enough to realize it's all about business, so I'm putting it out of my mind. But if it doesn't get done, I'm prepared to do what's best for me and my family. It's not what I want to do, but what I have to do. They're handling their business the way they feel they have to, and I'm going to do the same. So basically, as we said, he has the right to negotiate with other teams. Mm-hmm. If he comes up with a contract with another team, that team not only has to pay Samuel, but has to compensate the Patriots with two first-round picks, as long as the Patriots don't match.
And let's be honest, the only team that's going to do that is the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, no one else
is that a possibility?
I don't think that's a possibility, but I think maybe a trade to the Redskins is a possibility, because they were interested in Dre Bly. And they want to upgrade the corner position. So, and let's be honest, you never know what the Redskins are going to do. You think, well, they're not going to trade a 6th-round pick for Samuel. Well, heck, they're already in the mix for Lance Briggs. I mean, now they know Samuel's available. They could be in the mix for that. Now you're talking 3 first-round picks for the Patriots, with one of them, you know, being Laron Landry at number 6.
Right. Well, it's probably too early to say or to predict exactly how this is going to play out. But we can talk about how it affects what the Patriots are doing at cornerback this offseason. Defensive backfield is one position that they haven't really touched yet in free agency, one of the few, and they certainly don't have ideal depth at that position. What do you make of what they have not done at cornerback? Does it affect the way they're going to look at cornerbacks in the draft? And is there anyone else out there in free agency that you think they might go?
Well, they brought in Eddie Jackson, but he's not expected to play until October, I believe his agent said. And, I definitely think they're looking at corner in the draft, whether it's the first round or not.
And probably whether Samuel is here next year or not, cornerback is a...
Yeah, and you got the big four. You know, you got Houston, you got Revis, Ross, and Leon Hall from Michigan. And they probably say they like 2 out of those 4. Now, if one of those guys is there when they select, I'm sure they'll consider him. But it all depends on who they like, who's available, where they're trading up or down. But I can definitely see them taking a cornerback on the first day of the draft.
Right. Okay, well, the Asante Samuel saga will certainly continue. We'll see how, you know, I don't expect it to go necessarily into the season like Deion Branch did. Different circumstances. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a franchise tag guy, but maybe around the draft there will be some resolution. One other topic to bring up today, Todd Sauerbrunn. He was a fill-in punter for the Patriots last year, their third punter after Josh Miller and Ken Walter both were hurt. Now, as part of the contract they signed Sauerbrunn to last January or December, it included an exclusive rights element to 2008, whereby if he signs a contract offer with another team, the Patriots can match it. He reportedly has signed a one-year deal with the Denver Broncos, a team he previously played for. The Patriots have a few days to match that. Do you expect them to match that, and how does that affect, you know, Josh Miller's contract status and what the Patriots have going on at punter?
Well, I don't expect them to match it because they just gave Josh Miller some money. So why would you start paying all this money at the punter for a punter? You know, you got a couple of young guys. You can always go out and bring someone else in. I think Sauerbrunn goes back to the Broncos.
But let me ask you this. Reportedly, the option bonus, or the bonus that they gave Miller, basically to trigger his next year's contract, was $700,000 or something like that. Is that, to me, that doesn't seem like a huge price to pay for some legitimate training camp competition and get the best out of both guys and make a decision. Am I wrong to think that way? Or, no, obviously there's still whatever you'd have to pay Sauerbrunn, at least until you cut him, but is that not a huge price to pay to get some good competition?
Oh, no, it's not. But now you're talking about what you have to pay Sauerbrunn. I mean, I think the Broncos offered him a pretty good deal there.
Now but you're a lot of incentives, I think. Right?
Yeah, but you have to weigh, you know, this is a guy we got off the street. How much do we value him? Mm-hmm. Is Josh Miller right now pretty much similar to him, and can we bring in some other guys to compete in training camp? Is that the better road to go down? And I think it probably is, but we'll have to see what happens.
And with or without Sauerbrunn, it's possible that punting position will be an intriguing one in training camp because they have Josh Miller, who is coming off an injury. They also have these two guys, these two young guys, Tom Malone and Danny Bogger, who they brought in during last year, both rookies that are now in NFL Europe. They obviously have some interest in them, or at least to see what they can do in training camp. So whether it's Miller, Sauerbrunn, and these two guys, or just Miller and these two guys, could be an intriguing position.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch during training camp in the preseason.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. Thanks to Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe, and we send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all your latest Patriots information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!